Those are 5 different pages of notes, which maybe got in here. And this is what I think we're going to do. Glory. All quickly. You know, I was praying about this morning. And there is a new day coming for Antioch International Church and those who minister within her walls. He hamusu anda pe inde eshe emba usu rumbu ane efe empe ana. I am prepared to release power and glory for salvation and testimony, the proclamation of the gospel, the extension of the kingdom for those who are willing to labor with me. Take instruction and be prepared, for I am coming with glory. Amen. I've never done that before. I have never done that before. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Whew. Well, that makes sense now. The Lord said, give a commencement speech tonight. Nothing heavy. Rules for the road. Things they ought to know. They probably learned at one time, might have forgotten. Who knows? But there's a commencement exercise going on in the house tonight. And you know, that connotes two things. It connotes a graduation from one place and a stepping out into another. So, pretend I'm Dave Letterman or somebody like that. And I'm here. I got the glasses. And I'm here to give a commencement speech. So I'm going to tell you what you need to know to go from the place you're at to the place you're going to be. Rules for the road. Love God. Love God the Father. Love God the Son. Love God the Holy Spirit. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Love God. How do you love God? You know, it sounds simple. I know, I missed it for years. You spend time with him. You read his word. You try to understand his nature. You talk to him. That's prayer. You've all heard this before. But it's a fundamental rule of the road. Love God. Ask questions. I'm serious. Ask questions. You know, Lord, I don't really understand this. You can ask him anything you want. If you love physics, ask him how the heavens were made. It's not on my radar screen. Okay? Just ask him anything. And keep asking him. and he will answer you. Do you know something? I'm going to give you a very practical example. I served another ministry one time. My wife and I did. And I thought I was going to retire and go serve that ministry full time. Didn't happen that way. But I began to ask the Lord, when am I going to retire, Lord? When am I going to retire? And I kept asking. I was a federal agent. I got a mandatory retirement. You're out at 57. You know, badge and gun on the table. You're too old. Out. So I was like 53, 52. When am I going to retire, Lord? When am I going to retire? I kept asking him. And one day, I said, you know, Lord, when? October 31st, 2007. As clear as a bell. It was so far in advance of October 31st, 2007. I almost forgot he told me. I started to prepare to retire. I couldn't find anything. Something came up. I told my wife, I'm not retiring. I must have heard the Lord wrong. Something came up 2 weeks before, in the middle of September. I had 2 weeks to do something else, and I was out the door on October 31st, 2007. You can ask the Lord anything, and I have faith to believe he will answer you. That's one of the ways you love God. You know, you've heard it preached. It's like a relationship. You know, it's like a love relationship. It's like a marriage relationship, you know, et cetera. And you know, got to talk to God and you spend time with God and everything. But is God your best friend? You know, in the natural, my wife is my best friend. We've been married 36 years. That's right. I counted. And I would still rather spend my time with my wife than anybody else. She's my best friend. Do you know that when we're at home, sometimes she'll be reading in one section of the house and I'll be reading in another section of the house. And we don't even talk to each other. But there's a comfort and there's a knowing and there's an affirmation of who we are together just because we're there. That is a picture of what loving God is. Well, you have a relationship with the Lord. And whether you address him as Father God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, or maybe the Holy Spirit one time and the Father another time and Jesus another time, because it's three in one, it's all in the family. There's a desire the Lord has for intimacy. Do you know, this was intimate tonight. And I think the Lord wanted to highlight for that for you. Do you know, when I wrap my arms around my wife at night and we're laying in bed, she tells me she loves me, kisses me on my forehead, pats me on the back, says, rub my feet. Okay? It's true. Usually in that order. That's intimacy. That's a knowing. Do you know God like that? Are you comfortable with God like that? Do you know there are times when I'm going to bed or when I'm waking up or in the middle of the night and I'll grab my pillow. I'll just say, you know, Lord, I love you. I don't even know. I couldn't make it tomorrow. I'm so thankful you love me. I'm thankful you gave Jesus for me. I thank you for the Holy Spirit. You know, Lord, would you come and just hug me back? And he does. Would you have the Holy Spirit hover over me? You know, when you have intimacy with the Lord, it's like nothing else. Sometimes he tells you stuff nobody else knows. I was in a meeting, about 500 people in the meeting. We had a guy who was preaching at the meeting who was an Anglican priest, the Church of England. And he was a world-renowned international negotiator. He'd go get people out of bad spots, etc. He is now the vicar of Baghdad. And we're sitting up there, and they're doing, collecting the offering, they're doing something else and everything else, and the Holy Spirit says, hey, and I went, hey. He says, watch this. I said, watch what? He says, so-and-so, that was the leader, is going to stand up, and he's going to tell him that he's going to ordain him. I said, nope. Anyway. And he said, that's right. So I sat there, and I saw the leader sitting there. I'm not saying. I don't know who that was. And about 30 seconds, he gets up, and he goes, walks to the pulpit, and he goes, Brother Andrew, the Holy Spirit has just told me that I am to ordain you under the mantle of this ministry. And I'm going, and then the man gets up, Brother Andrew, and he begins to tell how it's been his cry for months to be ordained under this man's leadership. And all the way on the plane from England, he'd been asking the Lord if he couldn't do that. I don't even know what happened in the rest of the meeting. And when I remember that story, I get so excited. When I asked the man of God later on, I said, hey, what did the Holy Spirit really tell you to ordain that guy? Man, I was just sitting on the platform. I said, yeah, but when? He says, about 30 seconds before I got up to do it. And I went, wow, because he told me 2 minutes before. And that's intimacy. Look, I'm not saying I got a handle on it, but I'm saying go after it. Okay? It's a key to life in the kingdom. Love God. If you love God, everything else falls from that. You know, if you love God, then that enables you to love other people. If you remember deep down that God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you understand the depth of the love the Father had for Jesus and the depth of the love he had for you in sacrificing his Son, then you get a picture. You want to give love to God because God loves you like nobody else in the whole universe. Keys to the kingdom. Read the Bible and believe what you read. Keep it simple. Read the Bible and believe what you read and keep it simple. Jesus is the Word made flesh. The Word of God is alive. It's active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and the spirit. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. The Word reveals God and his plans and his purposes for you, for the church, for his kingdom, for eternity. The Word convicts powerfully, converts powerfully, comforts powerfully. Isn't that a good line? Somebody else wrote that. It reveals sin, tells us what the real truth is, and gives you guidance and direction. It really does. The Bible is an infallible authority. It's our deed of inheritance. And it endures forever. Grass withers, the word endures forever. And Jesus is the word. Glory. So read the Bible and keep it simple. Why do I say read the Bible and keep it simple? Because most of the church wants to turn you into a Pharisee. They want you to live by rules and regulations. They want you to look at every jot and tittle. I preached on the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to preach on the Holy Spirit tonight. But I'm telling you what, you just use that example right there about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I'm not shrinking back from it. That's what the Word says it is. It's a baptism of the Holy Spirit. They say, well, you know, you're really baptized in the Holy Spirit when you get saved. Well, you're really, it's really like a second filling. Oh, it's a, look. It says it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, okay? It's a dunking and an immersion in something. It is what it says it is. Jesus Christ was crucified. He told his disciples he was going to be crucified. He was dead. He was buried. He was not in the tomb. He approached them on the road and in the room, and they didn't believe it, and he said, don't touch me. I haven't been to my Father. He shows back up. He lets them touch him. He breathes on them. Receive ye the Holy Spirit. That's when they got saved, I think. That's when it all became real to them. But then what else did he tell them? I'm sending you out like sheep among the wolves. Don't do anything. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And 50 some other days later, when they're in a room, the Holy Spirit falls. And they receive a power like they've never known before. It's manifested by the speaking in tongues. Listen, I was raised in a church where they said, if you speak in tongues, it must be the devil. I remember standing in an anti-abortion line with my sign, don't kill the babies, next to a Pentecostal guy. And I said, what church are you from? And he told me, he says, oh, that's great. I said, glad to be here with you. Just don't make me speak in tongues. I remember that. Okay? I was wrong. I had to repent. It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It changes you. And it makes you real. Listen. The word is simple. It's simple. It's simple. It's simple. The Great Commission is simple. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Cast out demons. Heal the sick. The blind see. The dead are raised. Oh, you had better believe it. Don't make excuses. The whole world is made up of all kinds of denominations, splits in denominations like Marriott stock. It splits and it splits and it splits and it splits. Okay? I'm telling you, it's made up. And all they're doing is cutting a jot and cutting a tittle. And they've turned themselves into Pharisees. You know, there are lots of translations of the Living Bible. And I really appreciate students of the Word. Peter is a student of the Word. And I really appreciate what he brings. A depth of knowledge and understanding. If there's a fine line, he'll make sure you're on the right side of it. Oh, yes, there is a place for an in-depth Hebrew, vines, expository dictionary, pull it all out, study of the word. But I guarantee you, 99.9% of the people sitting in here don't do it. And that's okay. Read the word and keep it simple. I've read the King James. I've read the New King James. I've read the NIV. I've read Message. You know what my favorite Bible is? Living Bible. Simple. That's what I like. And if I've got a question, I go back and I'll pull out the King James. I'll look in the Vines. I'll check the concordance. I'll go deeper. I'll ask Peter. I'll ask Richard. Okay? They have a skill and a depth of knowledge. And that's good. So, read the Bible. I suggest you read it daily. What can I tell you? It's something you have to discipline yourself to do, but it keeps you focused and in the Word. And if you have an easy translation, it's easy to read. I like a translation without all the notes, commentary, and all the other stuff. Why? Because I can just read it. I don't get distracted. Believe what you read. Judgment, redemption, the Great Commission, the Book of Acts, blessings and curses, deliverance. It's all in there. And it's all true. And 99% of the people says, it was all in there then, but it's not true now. And that's wrong. Ask the Holy Spirit how to help you apply the Word in your life. It's new and fresh every day when you read it. Oh, never saw that before. Oh. It really, that intimacy with God I was talking about, doesn't. Don't let the spirit of religion put you in chains. Rule number three. Be hungry and thirsty. Get baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm talking baptized in the Holy Spirit. Speaking in tongues, baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to go into all of that. You've heard it before, some of you. The Word says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, and they shall be filled. No man is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ comes to baptize you in the Holy Spirit when you are at such a point in your spiritual walk that you are hungry and thirsty and you are asking Him for more. There are people all over the world that don't even know what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is, and they are hungry and thirsty and asking for more, and Jesus comes and they're speaking in tongues and they don't even know what it is. But whew, all of a sudden, their spiritual life is radically changed. I just want to tell you something. Before you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, who is the one that convicts you of sin and righteousness and your need for salvation? The Holy Spirit. Okay. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of righteousness. You know that? So here's, I'm going to call it, I'm sure it's got some name somewhere, Ed's theory of displacement. When you're saved, salvation is both immediate. You are saved. Your sins are forgiven. Things are wiped clean. And progressive for most people. There are some people who are so radically saved, okay, that they are just completely changed. All right? And you would think, well, Paul's in that category. But if I remember what I read, from the time he was put on the ground on the road to Emmaus, and the time, Damascus, excuse me, and had his sight restored, saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit, before he went back to Jerusalem, it was 13 years. If I remember that correctly. So there's a little time to get stuff straight. But even if you use Paul as an example, the bottom line is that most people have got their salvation locked in, but they still got to deal with sin and righteousness. You have been trained from this pulpit about generational curses. It is true. You have been trained from this pulpit about deliverance. It is true. So why do I say be hungry and thirsty? Because the more you get of the Holy Spirit, the more that stuff gets moved out. More of the Holy Ghost, less of Ed. More of the Holy Ghost, less of Ed. More of the Holy Ghost, less of Ed. And as my wife will tell you, that's not a bad thing. So, be hungry and thirsty. Rule for the road. You know, what's it say in the Old Testament? God gave them the land little by little so the wild beast wouldn't overrun them. It's very applicable. Be hungry and thirsty. Make the Holy Spirit your friend. Get baptized in the Holy Spirit and make the Holy Spirit your friend. He's responsible for your salvation. He is the gift of the Father given by Jesus. He is the source of all power for all ministry. He dispenses the gifts. The Holy Spirit is the promise of the Father and the Spirit of truth. He is the teacher. He will teach you all things. He instructs, he corrects, he trains us, he prepares us to receive an unbelievable inheritance. What did the psalmist say about an unacceptable fate? God, don't cast me from your presence. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Make the Holy Spirit your friend. The Holy Spirit is quite an encourager. You know what I've been seeing on the prayer line? Holy Spirit whispers to me. They're not baptized in Holy Spirit. I say, hey, how you doing? Anything we can pray for you for? No. Do you speak in tongues? No, and I don't want to. Spoke to somebody the other day. No, if God wanted me to have that gift, I'm sure he'd give it to me. They're not hungry and thirsty, and they have not made the Holy Spirit their friend. They need instruction. And maybe you can give it to them. I've seen tons of people just in doing my job. Get saved, get baptized in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will keep you out of trouble. He'll give you the high sign. Hey! You know, my 35th wedding anniversary, I was asking the Lord, what should I get my wife? And I kind of got impressed upon the fact I should get her tickets to Il Divo. If you don't know who Il Divo is, that's a singing group. And they are fabulous. It's four men. They're just fabulous. They also keep their venues very small, and their ticket prices very high. I mean, like, are you kidding me? High. So I asked the Lord. So I said, well, you know, Lord, maybe you could help me find a couple tickets at a good deal. So I start hitting the internet. Now, if you know me, I'm not an internet shopper. I don't do anything on the internet. I don't really trust the internet to do anything. But I went on the internet, and I found two tickets. Second row, center, $125 a piece, Il Divo. But there were other things at play, and I wanted to make sure that was the right thing to do. And, you know, and you think now, you go, Ed, you idiot. Wasn't that good enough? You know, well, whatever. So I threw down a fleece. I said, well, you know, Lauren, got to think about that. I don't know if my wife can travel that far. We're going to have to spend, you know, a couple of nights. I said, I'll check back. If they're still there, I'll know it's you. In a week. 2 weeks passed because I forgot about it. And I'm sitting there one day, and the Holy Spirit goes, at my computer, and the Holy Spirit goes, hey, hey, are you going to get those tickets?
I went, yes, sir. So I ran, got my wallet, got my credit card out, went back to the website, and went on there. Those same two tickets. Exact same two tickets were still available, and I bought them. Now that proves that the Holy Spirit loves me. And he loves my wife. But make the Holy Spirit your friend. Listen, if you need help in any manner, ask him. He's helped me fix stuff, put stuff up, figure out stuff I couldn't figure out. I go, God, what am I going to do here? And all of a sudden I know what to do. I'm talking practical, real world living. The Holy Spirit has bought me cars. When I got set to retire, I had to get a car just like that. A year before I got the car I got when I retired, I went to a car dealership. I said, hey, listen, pal. I said, I've got one of your brands of cars, an Infiniti. I said, I'd like to have another Infiniti. I said, but here's the deal. I don't want to pay a lot of money for it. I need a good car. I'm going to retire. I'm going to need transportation, but I want a good deal. So, look, it's just a ride to me, a piece of metal. I don't care what color it is. I don't care what's got leather. I don't care what gizmos have got on it. All I care about is the price. And here's what I'd like. I'd like a car that you can't sell. It's so bad you can't sell, you're not ready to wholesale it. And when you're ready to wholesale it, I'll pay you $500 more than you get it wholesale. And I'd like to have a certified used car. So I want a certified used car, which is supposed to be in top condition, checked out and everything. Guy calls me 6 months later. He says, hey, man, got a car for you going. I said, it's a smoker's car. I told you. That was another thing I told him. I want a smoker's car. So walked away. Boom, boom, boom. I got to retire. My wife says, you got to go get a car. You know, I'm trying to put it off. No, you need to go in. I go in to the car dealership. I said, hey, I need to speak to so-and-so. He's the general manager or whatever. And I said, I talked to him about a car some time ago, and he'll know who I am when he sees me. So that finally, after a couple of minutes, I go in there, and the guy looks up at me, and he goes, you! And I go, yeah, you! And I said, you! And I said, yes, I'm in. I'm here to buy a car. You got a car I can buy? Remember the deal? Da, 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 da. He said, yeah, just a car for you. He said, what's your budget? I said, like 22, 24, something like that. I can't remember what I told him. Just a car for you, gets the keys, goes outside. Try this car. It says $29,950 on it. I said, I can't afford that car. I said, just forget that. Drive that car. I went, all right, get in the car. G35X, all-wheel drive. Got every bell, whistle, and gizmo, leather, known to man. Okay? I go back in. I said, well, listen, I said, man, what's not to like? It's a fabulous car. I love it. You know, I can even shift gears in it, automatic, you know, and then I can shift gears. And I says, great. And he says, let me work on the numbers. Comes back, gives me a price. It's like, whatever my price was, it was exactly that price. Okay? And I go, I want you to know we're not making a penny off of this car. I said, deal. Boom, boom, boom. Sign it, bump, you know. Okay, give us an hour. We're going to prep it, et cetera. We'll get ready to leave. And I said, God bless you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I think my wife and I prayed for him. I'm not sure. But, and I said, what was that you thing? You. He said, man, you don't seem to understand. He says, for the last three nights, I've had a dream. And you were in my dream, and you came into the dealership. And I woke up from my dream, and the Lord said, get that man a car. Make the Holy Spirit your friend. Know the power of your testimony. What's the word say? Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have. You know what your testimony does? It opens the door to present the gospel. It encourages others. It helps you stand. And it serves as an instrument to stir up your most holy faith, and the faith of others. Listen, I've been giving you my testimony.
I want my testimony to stir you up. Encourage you to do what the Lord's put on my heart to tell you to do. That's the power of your testimony. I got a powerful testimony about getting saved. And I use that testimony. And I got powerful testimony about all the stuff I've seen the Lord do. And I give those. You got to understand the power of your testimony. It breaks down walls. It opens the spirits of people to the possibilities of God. It enables the Holy Spirit to go in where he might not have been able to go before and plant a seed. Or maybe he plants a seed and he waters it and you even get to harvest it. Who knows? I want to tell you, rules for the road. Know your testimony. You know what else I've seen on the prayer line? Hi, how you doing? Got to pray for anything? No. You all right? Yeah. Let me ask you a question. If you were to die today, do you know for certain you'd go to heaven? That's a yes or no. That's 100% yes, 100% no. Do you know for certain? Yes. Awesome. Well, listen, if you were to stand before the gatekeeper and he was to say, why should I let you in? What would you say? I love God. This guy said, you got anything else? Believe in God? I said, the demons believe in God and tremble. I said, you got anything else? What do you got? I said, I got Jesus Christ. I got Romans 10, 9 through 13. Jesus Christ is God, came to earth as a man, died on the cross for your sins, was resurrected from the dead. Whoever believes in him in his heart and confesses it with his mouth will be saved. And whoever confesses Jesus will never be put to shame. I knew that. And they did. They were saved. But they didn't really have a testimony, did they? Listen, got those two questions? If you were to die today, do you know for certain you'd go to heaven? If you were to stand before the gatekeeper, he says, why should I let you in? What would you say? I'm telling you, that brings it right down to the nut. And opens the door for the gospel. I don't think I have ever led someone to Christ to whom I did not ask those two questions. And it opened the door for the gospel, my testimony, salvation, and whatever else the Lord wanted to do. Know your testimony. What is your testimony based on? Know it. If you have a special scripture, know it. You don't have to give them 20 minutes. You can get it down and give it to them. Tell them how your life was changed. Whatever the Holy Spirit, who is your friend, who you have an intimate relationship because you love God the Father, is going to help you say exactly what you need to say. Do you know, when you read the Word, you've heard this, the Old Testament, the New Testament. What's the Old Testament? It's Old Testimony. What's the New Testament? It's New Testimony. Whose testimony is? It's Jesus' testimony. It is. It's John's testimony. It's Luke's testimony. Okay, it's Paul's testimony. John's testimony. What they've seen, what they've heard, what they've done. Your testimony is powerful. Ask the Lord for more testimonies. You know, a lot of times I'm somewhere and I'm kind of dry. I said, come on, Lord, throw me a bone. Gives me a testimony. I was in an Easter service with my wife in San Mateo, California, several years ago, visiting her mom. She's a good Catholic woman. Pray to Mary, Suzanne. God bless you. And she's saved. She loves Jesus. She's baptized in the Holy Ghost. But she's dyed-in-the-wool Catholic. Okay? Which is fine. So we go to the Catholic Church. It wasn't really my choice for an Easter morning, but hey, we're there. I'm going to drive her. Going to have a good time. I'm walking in. I said, come on, Lord. Whew. You know, your servant's here. Got anything to do? So where does Suzanne's mom go? Right to the front row. Right to the front row, on the left. There's the lector. Eleanor Zabel is here. Sits down. I go, okay. So my wife and I come in. There's a woman sitting on the end. Lector reads, everything else like that. Just say an opening prayer. I grab the hand of the lady standing next to me. I said, come on, Lord, show her what you got. Well, I had to grab her up and then put her on a chair. And she looked at me, rest of the service, ending prayer. I said, oh, hey, got you. Priest calls an end of the service. She says, excuse me, sir. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, are you baptized in the Holy Spirit? I am. She said, would you pray for me? I said, I'd be happy to, but you have to get permission from somebody in authority for me to pray for you. I'm the chief lector in this church. I have access to the altar and I serve communion. Is that good enough for you? I said, it works for me. Pray for her. She gets baptized in the Holy Spirit, slain in the Spirit, starts speaking in tongues. So I just sat there. We sat there and watched her for a little bit because Suzanne's mom wanted to talk to everybody. And when she finally got up, she said, wow. She says, you know, that was awesome. I said, yeah. And she says, you're not going to believe this. You know, my sister called me this morning. She lives in Pennsylvania. I said, yeah. And she told me to be expecting a miracle when at church today because I've been asking the Lord about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And she told me he was going to send somebody to baptize her in the Holy Spirit. Listen, you don't know what's on God's radar. Ask for testimonies. Hear and obey. Obedience is better than sacrifice. You know the Holy Spirit is the voice of the Lord in your life? He will direct your paths. He'll tell you to go here. He'll tell you to go there. He'll tell you what to do. I got so many stories of the Holy Spirit telling me what to do. And I'm sitting there and I don't have a clue. We're at a meeting, 500-600 people, pastor's preaching. Pastor said, go down and get ready to pray for people. That's what I do. I love it. Down the big stage, center and left, I'm ready. A couple hundred people lined up for prayer. So this is going to be good. Prayer team comes. They line up beside me. You know, we just kind of leapfrog. And the Holy Spirit says, get on the other side. He doesn't go, Ed, would you get on the other side? Hey, Ed, you know, why don't you get on the other side? He goes, get on the other side. And I can see this person in front of me. We've already made eye contact, connected, and you know, think something really weird, you know, maybe upset. You're not supposed to upset people. You don't want to put them off. You don't want to be good to people. You know what I mean? And I am always good to people. I just represent a different aspect of the character of God. That's all. And I said, you know, Lord, I'll do that. Just let me pray for this one person. I'm not going to tell you again. Get on the other side. Excuse me. That's what I did. 1 foot forward, 2 feet right, 1 foot back. Soon as I, whole prayer team's on that side. As soon as I'm standing there, pastor looks down and says, okay, pray for people. I walk down that row, boom, 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 boom. The next row, the next row, the next row, and the next row. And every single person was down on the floor, and all I did was just go. And I'm going, oh. Oh,
And to this day, I have no idea what the Lord was doing. But I'll tell you one thing. When he says jump, I say how high. When he says go, I say when. Hear and obey. Now listen, you're not always going to hear closely. And sometimes you're desperate to hear and you don't hear anything. Or sometimes you hear a voice so faint, you're going, what? Sometimes the Lord just requires faith. Just go do it. You know, if you love God, if you love Jesus, if you're friends with the Holy Spirit, if you're working on your testimonies, if you've prayed up about it, if you're not supposed to go, God will say, hang on there. And he won't let you go. So, hear and obey. Glory. Y'all free to leave at any time. Be available and flexible. I want to be considerate of your time. God has a plan. Listen. Sometimes the Lord seriously moves you out of your comfort zone to accomplish his purposes. Don't have a bad attitude. Be available and be flexible. I'm working on it. I'm working on it. Had these four guys we had to arrest. I sent the warrants down to Houston, Texas. I said, go get them. They arrested them. Fine, everything went well. They called me at 7 o'clock at night. I'm in the movies with my wife because I want to chill because it's been a rough couple of weeks. And they say, you got to come down tomorrow for the identity hearing. I said, I don't need to be at the identity hearing. That's a hearing where, you know, they turn them over to you and everything else. So I want to go down. Oh, you got to go. I want to get out. No, can't. Call another guy. Would you go down? No, he's not going. 10:30 at night, I'm making plane reservations. 6 a.m., I'm up. I'm on a flight to Houston. I am not a happy camper. Do the identity hearing, ride around. Ate in a restaurant where George Bush Sr. always eats barbecue. But anyway. And do what I got to do. Get on the plane. I'm coming back. And I'm saying, okay, there's got to be a reason. Since I made this trip for nothing while I'm on this plane. I'm sitting in the front row because I got a gun and, you know, they give you special courtesy. So I got the extra foot room on the front bulkhead. And the whole plane's full. And this guy, I said, what's going on, Lord? I thought I'm here for something. You got something? What am I supposed to do? He's coming through the hatch now. And comes this guy. Sits right next to me. I said, what we got going on? That's what the Lord tells me. He's a musician. He does this. He does that. He's got this going on. Blah, 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 blah. Plane takes off. I said, hey, pal. I said, I'm a praying man. I said, I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you something. The Holy Spirit sent me all the way to Houston, Texas to get on this plane to come back just so I could talk to you. And here's what he told me. Bam, 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 bam. And the guy starts weeping and crying. It was so bad, the slightly effeminate flight attendant came up and got really disgruntled. And we was telling him it was all right. And the Lord powerfully ministered to that guy for about an hour on the plane. He said it was one of the greatest days of his life. It was one of the greatest days of my life. Available and flexible. And don't be afraid to make a mistake. Okay? Look, if you got a heart of love and you miss it, you miss it. The Lord will cover it. All right? So step out. Fast and pray. Key to the kingdom. Fast and pray. Whew. Look, I don't want to put anything on anybody. I really don't want to put anything on anybody. But if you want a breakthrough, just read your Bible. I'm going to skip this part of it. Just read your Bible and read about fasting and prayer. Read the stories about fasting. People in desperate situations fasted. People who want an answer from God fasted. People who are waiting on God to do something for them fasted. Fasting has a way of making you needy for God. I'm not putting anything on you. But I was fortunate enough to be trained in a place where they fasted. And one of the greatest experiences of my life was a 40-day water fast where I was a full-blown working agent. I made it 38 days. And then I had to go to yogurt
and cottage cheese and fruit. One of the greatest experiences of my life. I've been on, I can't even tell you how many 21-day fasts I've been on. 7-day fast, 14-day fast, 10-day fast. Okay? I fast because I want God to hear my prayer. And I want the Lord to do something in my life. Fast and pray. It's a secret. Just, you know, about 5 or 6 years ago, the Lord told me to stop doing long fasts. He says, you know, on water. He says, just don't do it. He says, just fast once a day. So I'm once a week. So I fast once a week. But then he'll let me, I'll feel the unction to go on a fast. And, you know, now I fast with like orange juice and buttermilk. But it'll get you there. Oh, man, it's terrible. But it'll get you there. Okay? So fast and pray. Okay? Know that the world you can't see is just as real as the world you can see. And you are in a battle. It goes right back to read your Bible and believe what it says. What is Jesus' prayer for us who believe? I pray for them. I have given them your word. And the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. You are in a battle. And the world you read about in the Bible is real. Angels and demons, real? You bet. Are we more than conquerors? Absolutely. But we still have to fight. Why do you think we have the armor of Ephesians 6? We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities of darkness. Rule for the road number 9. Know that the world you can't see is just as real as the world you can see. I got to move quickly. I got stories to tell, but I won't. Take a bath and get a tune-up. Take a bath and get a tune-up. How many people here have undergone deliverance at all? At all. How many people here have undergone deliverance within the last year? Last 6 months? Last week? Okay. I say yes to them all. I've been seeking God and on a fast. And I got deliverance on 3 different days. And I'm not talking deliverance. I'm talking, hey, welcome the spirit of deliverance and go prepare communion. Deliverance. And I'm preaching the word. You all got junk. And you either know it or you don't. But the Holy Spirit does. And if you love God, and if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, and if you made the Holy Spirit your friend, and if you fast and pray, and if you seek the Lord, and you say, Lord, I want to be all I can in Christ Jesus, do you know something? He'll get you enrolled in edge displacement theory and help you get rid of your stuff. I had a dream several months ago. In a dream, I'm standing up in the front of the church. I'm kneeling down next to somebody. I'm praying for him. And Jesus walks up beside me. He says, hey, what are you doing? I'm praying for deliverance. Good. Do you know why you're doing that? Do you know how that works? Whenever Jesus asks you a question, tell him you don't know anything. Okay? Because then he'll tell you. He tells me all about deliverance. Phew.
lays it out. He's gone. I wake up. What did he say? I can't remember a thing he said. I go, come on, Lord, what did he say? What did you say? I got my pad, I got my pen, I got the light on. I haven't even gone to the bathroom. I go, come on, Lord, just give it to me. I go back to sleep. I have the same dream again. I get up. You're not going to tell me, are you? I go back to sleep, and I have the same dream again. I'm telling you, there's a wave of deliverance coming. There's a wave of deliverance coming. I don't know when. I don't know how it's going to, but it's coming. But if you can be ahead of the curve. There were days when I work and I come home, my wife would look at me and she'd say, she's got the gift of discernment. She'd go, don't even come through this door. So it was probably either child porn or whorehouses. I don't know what it was. But anyway, so she just goes, I'm going to clean you off. So cleans me off. Picked up stuff while I was working that day, resting people, doing searches, whatever the heck it was. Okay? She cleans me off. Then we go take communion. Listen, you ever been somewhere and get slimed? Sometimes it's cool. I love Peter's testimony. Look, I'm walking down the streets of New York. I got my family with me. This guy comes running from three streets over, and he just runs right up to me, and he just starts. He used every swear word in the book. I go, oh, that is seriously awesome. Peter wins, walking in the power and the glory and the majesty of God. Well worth the enemy's time to try to intimidate him, put him off, shake him back, make him fearful. Whew. That's pretty cool. Most of the times you're not cool, but that's pretty cool. If you sin, repent. Repent. Your sin separates you from God. If you don't get rid of that stuff, because sometimes you just, a little bit, okay? It collects, opens the door for curses, for the demonic to mess with you, okay? That's why you need, cleaning off. If you sin big, repent big, and then go worship the Lord. You know what David did with Bathsheba? Had her husband killed. Baby was born. The Lord says, I'm taking the baby. The baby dies. David does everything he can, lays on the floor, don't do it, and gets up. He said, the baby's dead. He just gets up. He says, blessed be the name of the Lord. His will be done. He eats and he goes to the temple. And he worships the Lord. Man. Best antidote to sin is worship the Lord. Holy Spirit will help you clean yourself up. Check your spiritual condition. Come for prayer. What do I know? Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Is there stuff I got to get rid of in my life? What is it? You can do it, you and God. But a lot of people need help. Rule for the road. Number 11. Look for the Spirit of God, not the devil. We had an awesome worship service on Sunday. And Chuck gave an awesome word. And an awesome invitation. And if I don't know anything, I know when the Lord's here.
Anybody want anything? I thought I'd get trampled. I don't know if anybody followed me or not. Frankly, I don't care. The Spirit of the Lord was there. The Word of the Lord came to the man of God. Anything you want? I said, oh, yeah. And I went up and I got it. And I laid there on the floor. And I flopped around. And I made noises. And I laughed. And I let the Holy Spirit take as much time. I just stayed there through the whole sermon. If the weight of the Holy Spirit had been on me. Because you know something? I'm old enough, I just don't care. But there are churches that you would go into where if by some unbelievable act of God, maybe because Chuck was in there, the Holy Spirit fell. And somebody right on the edge came up. They'd be looking for the demons in that man. They want to know what the devil was doing. They wanted to know why there was an order. Listen. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are from God. Test the spirits. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And if he's not, if he doesn't do it, he's not from God. And it's the spirit of Antichrist, the anti-anointing. You're after the anointing. It's pretty simple. Finally, applause. Be a disciple. Be a disciple, but know who you are in God. Listen, I'm going to give a shout out to Peter Wins and to Jesse Enns. They are both tremendous men of God. They are diligent in the word, in preparation to give the word. They are pastors in the truest sense. I've never had a pastor that loved me, respected me, talked to me, was considerate of me, like those two gentlemen. But I am not Peter, and I am not Jesse. I am Ed Brigham. I am unique in the whole universe. There has never been an Ed Brigham before, and there will never be an Ed Brigham after I'm gone. God created me so that I could have fellowship with him, and I could worship him, and I could love him, and I could be a friend to him, and I could appreciate the cross and everything that the Holy Spirit has done for me, and I could talk with him, and he could talk with me, so we could have fellowship because he likes me just the way I am. Now, he wanted to get me saved, he wanted to get me healed, he wanted to get me cleaned up, and it's still a work in process. So be a disciple. Learn what the men of God have here to impart, but then go and be who you are in Christ. Do the thing the Lord has called you to do. And it's not what Peter does. It may be. It may not be what Jesse does. It may not be what I do. It may be your own thing. Okay? Jeff had the hand of God on him. Look what's going on in Haiti. That's Jeff's assignment for the time being. Y'all have got assignments. So be a disciple. Be your own man. Glory, glory. I love when Peter says, partner with God. God wants you to be who you are in Christ, fully empowered by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Glory, that's it. Amen. 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 You're all dismissed. Glory, amen. But if you want prayer, we will pray for you. Amen. Amen. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Go ahead. If you want to leave, go ahead. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We ask you to come, Lord. We ask you to come, Holy Spirit. We ask you to come, Lord. We ask you to come, Lord. We ask you to come, Lord. We ask for your manifest presence, Lord. We ask you to do your unbelievable work, Lord, your strange and alien work, Lord. We ask you to come and minister, Lord, in the house tonight. Lord, I confess I have nothing to give to these people. But you, Lord, you have everything to give to these people, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus.